God in heaven, we come to you this morning as humbly as we know how. Father, giving you thanks for the glorious ways in which you bless us with homes to live in, food on our table, beds to sleep, eyes to see, but most of all for giving us the very best of heaven in the person of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Father, I pray that everything that we say and do today will be in accordance with your will. Help us, Father, that we might be better today than we were even yesterday. We ask, Father, and confess that we do sin and repent of that sin, that this prayer may be heard in heaven. We pray as we come together this morning to study your word, that you not only open our ears, but that you also open our heart, that we might receive your word with gladness, that it may enrich us, strengthen us, and help us, Father, that we might apply these things in our day-to-day lives. We pray for the church here, and bless the Father, that you will continue to be a house of prayer, a place where you are reverenced above all names and above all things. Help us as always to recognize that you are the audience and not we ourselves. Bless those who are on the way to us, that you give them traveling mercies and grace. We pray for those who are sick, not only physically sick, but also spiritually sick, that you restore them, that they, Father, might come to this place to find out in a more perfect way your will for us here on earth. Strengthen us, bless us as only you can, for this is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This morning we will conclude our study on the subject of forgiveness. The subject of forgiveness, we're studying from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, the parable of the unforgiving servant. The parable of the unforgiving servant. We said that forgiveness is an assignment that all of us will have to wrestle with. Every last one of us will have an opportunity in this life to practice forgiveness, because as humans, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we will all trespass against one another, or someone will trespass against us. And so it is a reality. And just to recap, we said that the world's worst prison is the prison of an unforgiving heart. And if you refuse to forgive others, then we are only imprisoning ourselves and causing our own torment. Why? Because quite often we harbor in our hearts and minds an attitude perhaps of bitterness, and the other person who has trespassed against us has either moved on, is may not be aware of what has happened to you, or they feel that the issue has been resolved. Yes? And so, what was wrong with this man in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35? We say the same thing is wrong with many professing Christians. Number one, they have received forgiveness, but they have not really experienced forgiveness deep in their hearts. Who is forgiveness for? Who is forgiveness for? For us. Yeah. For us. Yes. It's for us. And then, therefore, if we are unforgiving, we are unable to share forgiveness with those who have wronged them. You have wronged somebody. Yes, you have. All of us have wronged you. The problem is, quite often, we can remember when people wrong us, but we forget when we wrong others as well. So, when a person treats us wrong, when something goes wrong in our life, we need to ask ourselves the question, have I done that too? Or has God forgiven me of a greater sin than this? And quite often the answer is yes. Quite often the answer is yes. And so if we live only according to justice, always seeking to get what is ours, we put ourselves into prison. How do we know that? Because the servant, when the master found out that he owed money, how much did the servant in Matthew 18 owe? How much did he owe? How much did he owe? And how much is that about approximately worth today? About $1 million. And so he begged for forgiveness. The master let him go. And then what happened to the servant? Somebody owed him money. And he owed him about a penny. And what did he do? Did he forgive that man?
No.
Grabbed him by the throat. Told him, you pay me my money right now. And what happens to us? When somebody wrongs us, we want justice, don't we? And we want it yesterday. We want justice, we want it yesterday. But when we wrong somebody, what do we want? What do we want? I'll never do it. How many of us have ever said never? I'll never. Lord, if you give me this time, I'll never do that again. And never is a short term. You know that right? Never is a short term. And so Peter asked for a measuring rod. What was Peter's question? Matthew 18 and verse number 21 says what? Matthew 18, 21. How often shall my brother sin against me? Up to seven. What's the problem with that question? The first question. What is the problem with that first question? Peter assumes that his brother's going to sin against him. How often? He didn't say, Lord, if my brother forgives trespasses against me, he said, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And seven times. Lord, just give me a number. Just give me a number. Yeah? Jesus told him to practice forgiveness and to do what? Forget the measuring rod. Well, my sin is not as bad as her sin. And at least I didn't do that. Isn't that what we say? Well, at least I didn't steal three pants. I only took one. How much sin do you have to sin to sin? How much sin do you have to sin to sin? Just one. But you say, don't we have big sins and small sins? Huh? Well, if I just take one, everybody's doing it. You know what we say? And we justify our sin sometimes. I'll sin and then ask God to forgive me. Well, girl, what you so worked up about? I only what you sin. How much sin will keep us out of heaven? How much sin will keep you out of heaven? How much sin will keep you out of heaven? Even the little sins will keep you out of heaven. God keeps good boys. Yeah? And so our Lord's warning is here. He did not say that God saves only those who forgive others. He did not say that God saves only those who forgive others. The theme of the parable is forgiveness between brothers, not salvation for lost sinners. This is talking about folk that have a relationship. Now, it's not the lesson, but this is for free. Forgiveness is an event and a process. Forgiveness is an event and a process. See, in that moment in time, you make a decision whether or not you're going to forgive a person. But that forgiveness is a process because sometimes, you know, that saying forgive and forget is not true. God doesn't want you to forget. And he doesn't want you to be a doormat either. So, well, you know, aren't you just forgive and keep forgiving? You know, some people, you have to love them from afar. Did you know that? Some people, you have to love them from afar. It doesn't mean I don't love you, but I can't have you in my circle. You know? You got some dangerous hook up there. Yeah. And so in your family, in my family, in everybody's family, you're gonna have some folk that you have a hard time getting along with. Isn't that right? You got the in-laws and the outlaws. Huh? Yeah. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's It's just me. And so it's a process. It's a process. I forgive you, but you know, you can't choose the folks you work with. You're right. You can't say, listen, just fire her because I don't want to see you anymore. No, it may be your boss. Maybe your co-worker. Yes, I've asked for, I forgive you, but it's going to take time for us to build that relationship again. That makes sense? Yeah. And so even as brothers and sisters. And so, Jesus warned us that God cannot forgive us when, what? If we do not humble, if we do not have humble and repentant humbleness, God can't forgive you. Yeah? Because forgiveness is a matter of the heart. Yeah? Your heart must be involved in forgiveness. You know, say, well, I can. We reveal the true condition of our hearts by the way we do what? John 13, 34-35 says what? John 13, 34-35. Underline that, highlight it in your Bible, memorize it. John 13, 34-35. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. That you what? That you love one another. How? Just like I have loved you. And he said, by this, what will happen? All men will know you are my disciples by heart. Well, we come to church sometimes, attitudes with one another. A new commandment, it means there was an old one, is replacing something. That you love one another. You know where I'm going with this. When they start talking about love, what where am I going with this? What type of love? Agape love. What's agape love? Unconditional love. Yeah? And so the standard starts in whom? In the church house. A new commandment I give to you Christians, that you love one another how? As I have loved you. By this, all men will know you are my disciples by the love you have. So you know what that means? I can't go around talking about my brothers and sisters in Christ. I can't go around having an attitude toward my brothers and sisters in Christ. Huh? I can't hold grudges. I gotta forgive. By this, all men will know you are my disciples by your love. If we're trying to bring folk on the outside, and bring them on the inside, and they say, well, that's how you all treat you. Oh, well, no part of that. So what's the standard? The Lord is watching us, how we treat each other, yeah? And so when our hearts are humbled and repentant, we will gladly forgive our brothers. But whether it's pride, what's pride? What is pride? What is pride? Pride. What's pride? What does pride look like?
Arrogance. Self before.
What's that?
Self before.
Self. I like that. Selfish. Huh? No. I don't make any mistakes. You can't correct me. Huh? You're walking around like you got it all together. The Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Be careful. You perhaps you've heard this expression before. Be careful how you treat folk going up the stairs, because you might have to meet them coming back down those stairs. Huh? You know, folk want to, you go to college, you go to uni, you get yourself a bachelor's, a master's, a PhD. Huh? You go to work and you want to become the CEO on the first day. And you're trampling on folk to get to the top. Huh? And they say, well, did you know that they demoted the panel last week? She's no longer the manager now. She's back down there serving hamburgers. And the same girl you trampled on, she's the one that's your supervisor now. Huh? You're not proud anymore. Huh? Jesus. But where there is pride and is desirable what? What's revenge? What is revenge? Revenge. Okay. Anybody in here wanted revenge on somebody?
Yeah.
I'm gonna get her. My back is turned. I'm gonna fix things. Come on. You make me get mad. No? What happens when we get mad? We say things. We think things. We do things. But the Bible says, Jesus, God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. But we forget that, don't we? Huh? Because God takes a little longer than we want to fix this. I'm gonna fix this. But where there is a desire for revenge, there can be no true repentance. And this means God cannot forgive us. You know why? Because we're not willing to forgive others. We're not willing to forgive others. Is it that we can forgive? Is it that we can forgive or won't forgive? In other words, it is not enough to receive God's forgiveness. This is a two-way transaction. It's a two-way street. You can't just receive God's forgiveness or even the forgiveness of others. We must experience that forgiveness where? Where? We sing this song, "It's Thy Heart, Right with God." What is Jesus trying to do in the Gospel of Matthew? What is Jesus? Why are we studying these lessons? To change your heart. Jesus wants to transform you from the inside out. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your, what's your mind? Your mind is your heart. That you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will. So, that says, I got a volunteer. God's not gonna rescue you down and tell you you have to do this. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. That's the least you can do. In view of all that God has done for you, the least you can do is show up for Him. Yeah? And don't let the world shape you, but be ye transformed. What's transformation? To change from what? From one state to another. Now, I used to think this way. I used to act this way. But now I'm going to make a decision up here. So that transaction takes place up here. How do you get transformation? First of all, you need information that leads to education, which leads to an invitation to transformation. But you need to have some application. Huh? That's what happens now. So all of us have information. All of us have information. You look, billboards, the side of the bus, all this information. You go on to Instagram, WhatsApp, whatever stuff is popping up, that's all this information. And the world is educating us every day. The devil is trying to sell you something every day. Yeah? So, whenever you've got a situation, God will show up and give you information, which will lead you to education, which is an invitation for transformation. Yeah? You can't travel on two roads at the same time. Isn't that right? So you'll be able to continue down the same road you're used to. I'm used to thinking this way. Well, now God's got some information for you. What you gonna do? You're gonna do what? Divert your attention. Say, Lord, you see in your word that I can't treat people like this. It's in that book. So now you gotta make a decision. What you gonna do? You can do your way or God's way. And you know what we do? We do it our way. Like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. Huh? And Burger King says, have it your way. But the church is not a democracy. Did you know that? The church is not a democracy. You know what the church is? A theocracy. It means God's in charge. And God didn't consult you for anything. Huh? So, you've got to make a decision. Huh? So we must experience that forgiveness in our hearts so that it does what? It humbles us. Here I am. I'm going into my job. I step into the building and there I'm running the elevator. And the lady lets it. The elevator door's slamming right in my face. What am I going to do? What you going to do? What do you do? You make all. See, when I get the job, when I get upstairs and I see Miranda, you saw me coming. I'm a fool. Because I don't know why the elevator door is closed and I can jump to conclusions. No? I'm a fool. She was super. I don't know if she was super what, but you know sometimes that thing just goes. Yeah. And so, I gotta humble myself. Have I done that before? Yeah. Have I done worse before? Yeah. Yeah. And it makes us what? Makes us gentle. You know when the real person shows up? When does the real person show up, Brother Paul?
In a crisis.
In a crisis. That's the real you. That's the real you. Huh? Anybody out here driving? I'm gonna look this way while I'm saying this. Anybody out there driving? You got some road rage poking in there? They cut me off. Stop short. Why are they driving so slow? No. Gentle. And forgiving towards others. We assume a lot of things, don't we? Doing a lot of things. The servant in the parable did not have a deep experience of forgiveness and humility. He simply was glad to be off the hook, but he never really repented. Look at Matthew 18 and verse number 34. That his master was angry and delivered him into the torturers until he should pay all that was due. In verse 35, so my heavenly Father also will do to each of you what? From his heart. Does not forgive his brother his trespasses. From his heart. Because you can forgive, but your heart's not in you. Huh? That's when the rubber really meets the road. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind to who? Who's to one another? Who's to one another? Christians. And be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven. Put yourself in the circle. Put yourself in the circle. Huh? Put yourself in the circle. I tell you the story many years ago. My brand new car. I was about 23. My brand new car. Drove in one day. Couldn't find a parking spot where I normally would. So I parked it on the roadside, outside of the neighbor's house. When I got up in the morning, there was a scratch, Brother Bradley, on the back of the car, all the way to the front of the car. And this were not just a scratch, this was a scratch, right down to the metal. I said, oh, that scratch wasn't there when I got up, when I left last night. I said, well, let me go enhance my neighbor. Neighbor in the scope of a truck. No? Next door, I came out, I think this was Mr. Sturman. Mr. Sturman, sorry to disturb you. Did you notice that scratch on my car? He said, you young people parking your cars where they're not supposed to, and then told me. I said, well, you scratched my car. You had to pay for that. He told me to get out of his face. What did they do, Sister Hammond? It's a private room. The police are not going to get involved in it. That's a civil matter. What do I do?
It's difficult to say.
What did I do?
Forgive him.
Forgive him. You know why? Because that car, I can't take the car to heaven with me. I had to put the car in the shop all week to get all the body work on the head. The whole part of that car repainted. What if I went over and smashed all his windows and then I wanted to become a Christian next week? You gotta suffer a lot sometimes. You know what? Thank you very much, Mr. Stern. You have a good day and God bless you. Yeah? Some of us, yes.
But Brother Darryl, unless we give ourselves really best to God, before we can do that, I know forgiveness is good for us to forgive someone so that God forgive us, as Peter says. But before someone scratch your car and you just forgive us like that, I don't think it's easier. But if you have God and you trust God and you know that God can provide it for you in another way, yes, you can forgive him or not. But I don't think so.
That's all.
To God bless
you. Yeah, because God didn't promise you a car, he didn't promise you a house either. You see, I can't take that risk. Yeah? So, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. Colossians 3:13. Forbearing with one another. What does forbear mean? Forbearing. What does that mean? Forbearing with one another.
Put it up
with. What's that?
Tolerate.
Forbearing with one another. That's the long suffering. In Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, long suffering. How long you had to suffer? Oh, it's going to be a long time. Forbearing with one another. That also means to make elbow room. To make elbow room. Have you ever sat down to a table and it's not enough room for everybody? Ever been in a situation like that? That's what it means. So we need to make some elbow room for one another, because we might be in close confinement. Huh? I know it's a bit tough in here, but I'm going to put up with this situation. Forbearing with one another, and do what? And forgiving. These are two of the one another assignments that are found in your Bible. The other alone assignments, the one to the other, and the other to the one. So it goes both ways. You have to make room for me, and I've got to make room for you. In order for us to get to heaven, this is the arena. This is a training ground. See, if we can't make it down here, guess what? There's no room for us up there. So everything you go through in life is a test. Everything you go through in life is a test. Your job is to find out what is the lesson for you. Isn't that interesting? Now, you can't graduate from school unless you do what? How can you graduate from school? You gotta pass the exam. Well, if you don't pass the exam, guess what you're gonna have to keep doing? You have to keep repeating it. Then you say to yourself, well, why does this always keep happening to me? What's the answer? You haven't learned the lesson yet. You haven't learned the lesson yet. Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to teach me? That's in your Bible. Forbearing with one another and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, look, even as Christ did what? Forgave you, so also do you. Start with yourself. Put yourself in the circle. Have I offended somebody? And you say yes. And when someone offends me, don't forget that you have offended someone too. So that makes it easy for you to forgive me. Now, the Bible says, as much as given, much more will be required. You better be careful when you're asking God for more. Send me more money, a bigger house, a promotion, more children, parents, more children. Guess what you're going to have to do? That assignment becomes bigger and bigger. You say, well, that's not what I had in mind, but that's what God had in mind. Remember the last time we were together? What did I say about marriage? What did I say about marriage? It's a three-ring circus. Like a three-ring circus. First, there's the engagement ring. Second is the wedding ring. And what's the third ring?
Suffer.
Oh, the supper ring. Adam and Eve had to learn forgiveness. Isn't that interesting? They were leaning to it in the Garden of Eden. But you made me do it. No, you made me do it. No, you made me do it. It was her Lord. It was him. And then we're still doing that today. Blaming other folk for our own problems. Marriage is where you learn how to forgive. You can't hear to hear that. If you want to get married, if you are married, that's where you learn forgiveness. That's where God is going for forgiveness to the end. And sometimes we have to forgive ourselves too. Because maybe you didn't know any better. It's a good thing we talk about marriage because that's the next chapter. That's the next chapter in Matthew 19. Questions or comments? Yes. It's in Romans 13, 14, and 15. Yes. Let's turn to Romans chapter 13 and 14. So the Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Yes? So when I step outside of God's law and man's law, and there are consequences, such there are correction needs to take place. So we must, even in a minister counseling situation, somebody comes and says, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so did X, Y, Z, you say to the person this, whatever is said here is kept confidential. However, I have a duty to report anything that is against the law of the land to the authorities. Yes, you can still forgive the person. I repent of that, but guess what? I'll go down to the prison with you, to the police station with you. I'm gonna pray with you, but I cannot relieve you of the consequences of your actions. Does that make sense? Yeah? So we must keep that in mind as well. So the forgiveness can run alongside the actual justice. So yes.
Yeah, I think when we are talking about justice, we must also obey the authority. What I have to do will cost me more than forgiving, then I have to forgive. Like in a country where you have an issue with the police,
yes,
they have to be coming often and often.
Okay.
And if I have to be going there because of that matter, often I affect my work.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go, instead of me going to the police, let me go.
Yeah.
So we can weigh the consequences of it, the result at the end of the day, if I have to take justice on it.
Yes, it may cause other problems.
The same thing with the banking system.
Yes.
Where your loved one died, and the primary they have to collect, you don't have the means to get the money from them. For you to continue to meet the bank, to get quantities and everything, you see, you may even spend more than the amount you want to collect.
Yeah.
For that particular area. So in the area of forgiveness, I think we should always weigh it.
Yeah.
And for that one, we already have that issue, a little bit calm.
Yes.
Not to respond when we are angry.
Yes.
When we are calm, then probably we need to see how to forgive.
That's a good point. And that would be the same thing when I was talking to you about the car. I had to weigh the consequences. Am I willing to take this man to court? That's going to cost me more money, and plus, I'm still going to get the car fixed. You see, so wisdom says, you know what? You need to count the cost before I take this course of action or this decision. It may be just easier just to move on. Make sense? Because if not, you're going to cause yourself more aggravation, and it's going to cost you more to try to one, because one might try to pursue justice. Because God is a righteous judge, and he never makes a mistake. I'll leave that in God's hands. That makes sense? Rather than trying to create a bigger problem. Any other questions? Yes.
No, I want to give a little bit of contribution for forgiveness, because forgiveness is one of the difficulties in this life, especially for we Christians.
Yes.
It's very difficult. When we study Matthew chapter 6,
yes,
disciples' prayer,
yes,
he said, forgive our debts, trespasses as we have already forgiven those. And it's going on repeating. It seems that the book of Genesis to Revelation, all is about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult as we human beings.
Yes.
It's very difficult for us. So to learn this kind of lesson, also you need to apply it. Although it is difficult, that is why Jesus came to set an example for
yes
us, so that
yes
to show that although it is difficult, but you can do it
yes
if you're willing, or if you follow the steps of God, you can, by God's grace, you can do it. But forgiveness is not just one thing or something. That is the step by step. You have to grow on forgiveness. If not, a lot of times the body tries to seek for vengeance and seek for justice.
Yes.
You see, so this particular lesson is very, very important for all of us so that we can learn something on it, so that when you go outside, this can show us the difference between me and others in the world.
Thank you. What was one of the Lord's last statements on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's talking to you and about you too. So if we keep that in mind, especially when people trespass against us, yeah, because the world is doing what it's supposed to do. Yeah, a lion roars because that's what it was designed to do. So why do we complain when the lion roars? So don't complain. This assignment is for brothers, brother to brother relationships. Yeah. When the world shows us what it is or who it is, we shouldn't complain, should we? What we do. You know, we have all manner of conspiracy theories or theories out there. You know, the bank is trying to get us, whoever's trying to get us. Listen, we spend too much time and energy on things that keep us up at night. And we need to practice forgiveness, practical forgiveness. Yes? Every day you open the newspaper or listen to the news about some scandal. Yeah? And even in the church, we're not exempt. We're not exempt, unfortunately. Because Satan uses people. And as I always say, if Satan can't get to you, guess what it's going to do? It's going to work on the person closest to you. It'll be the person sitting right next to you. Yeah? And so, forgiveness is an event and a process. It's not easy. But God will not ask you and I to do something that's impossible. Yes?
Sorry, before we go, I think I'm not that comfortable with that phrase you're leaving to resolve.
Okay.
Because our mindset, our way of understanding might be different. Okay. And what people do not bring, people do not bring alive.
Okay.
In the end of talking about marriage, that the first one is the engagement, the second one is the wedding, and the third one is the suffering, I think we should use the better word for that suffering.
Okay.
You know, it probably the mind that the third engagement is suffering. Some people run away from getting married. If I know that way, I'm going to enter to this stage, this sort of stage, rather than they go to. There's some people will see that they see the thought that the marriage is suffering. It's not to pay it. So we need to pay, probably we should look at a better phrase for it. Marriage is to pay for us to enjoy.
Yes.
And when we apply the will of the Lord in our mindset, it, we will enjoy it for the rest of our life. And along the enjoyment, there's always a storm in life. That one we just need to know. And that's not going to last forever. It's just like wine. But marriage, as God has said, is so everybody, both husband and wife, to enjoy it. And when we have it at the back of our mind, then we all work towards it. If I work towards to have peace in my home, my wife also is working towards to have peace in the home, then we enjoy the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But when I have in mind that in mindset, that's going to be very dangerous, our mindset, that marriage is involved with suffering. So instead of not having a peace for being other thing now, we see part of it, the same, some is part of marriage and the government, our maturity is quite different. But that way, the way we think, the way we reason are quite different. So that we will not go and stuck in our brain, in our mindset that the part of marriage is what is suffering. Thank you.
So I will ground my statement in scripture in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Yes? And our next study, Lord willing, next week will be from Matthew chapter 19. And we'll talk about the benefits of marriage. Yes? And then we'll look at the dangers of marriage when we approach it the wrong way as well. So we'll cover that. But when it comes to suffering, suffering is a word that we use in a negative sense quite often. Yes? But suffering is a part of life. Yes? And the reality is that marriage existed before the church. It existed before the church. And so God's command for marriage and the union of marriage was designed, as you said, for mutual enjoyment, but at the same time, too, before you, a man or woman, enter into marriage, they need to understand some things. There needs to be some warnings that come with it. Because, and I'm getting ahead of myself, some people marry just so they don't burn. That's not the reason to get married. Yes? And so, the suffering part, Jesus, the Bible says, though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things he was. He suffered. And so, in the marriage arena, unfortunately, what happens is the two don't become one. Because suffering may be on one party, but it's not on the other party. Yes? And so it must be mutual. And that is my point. There is the celebration of marriage, but there's a reality of it as well. Because that should be your closest relationship. Yes? Because it existed before the church itself. The reason why there are so many problems in marriages, people are not long-suffering. And I'll use myself next week. I was married and I was divorced. Why? Because I didn't learn it from a lot. And so I'm not saying these things to be flippant or to just throw these things out there to help people. If you can learn from me, from my mistakes, yes, or to help you where you are today, then it was all worth it. Because guess what? Now I have to suffer. Because of my own bad decisions. What had I understood that then? You know how we say, if I knew then, what I know now, I will be in a better place. So that's my point. And so it is incumbent upon each of us, I encourage every person in here, don't rely on me as your exclusive source of Bible study. I'm expecting that you go home and study these things out for yourself.
Amen.
Yeah? Because it's not what I say that's important, it's what God says. It's important. So when we come to this place, it is my prayer that you have already studied Matthew 18, Matthew 19, next week, Lord willing, so we can come and reason together from the scripture. Does that make sense? Amen. Brother Lucky, would you be kind enough to close us up?
Let's pray.